You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning. Now, we've had a big conversation going on all year since January. It's been a unique and interesting, even kind of a different year here at Emmanuel, and we knew that going into it. I don't know if you remember, we had this conversation saying, we've got some work to do together as a church to just double down and clarify what we mean by His word, our walk, what our core values are as a church, and then to start unpacking some of those core values in some practical ways. And that's what we've been up to all year. And I recognize it might feel a little bit different than you're used to if you've been around here for a while, but it's on purpose. It's on purpose because back in January, I don't know if you remember, we did a series called This Is Us, and we unpacked our purpose around this conversation, His Word, Our Walk. We discovered and we just reiterated something that is familiar to us for a long time, that we're here to be disciples who make disciples. And we unpacked some core values that came out of that. And one of those core values was that we're relational. And I don't think that's anything new for Emmanuel, but we have been taking ground on that value all year long this year so far. The tagline of that core value that we're relational is this, that we structure our lives around healthy Christian community. That's not everything we're about, but it's a big part of what we're about. And so we've been very deliberate trying to understand what exactly does that look like for us going into the future? What has it looked like? What is it going to continue to look like? And what's some ground we need to take together in this idea of structuring our lives around healthy Christian community? So it's been like 4 months that we've been having the conversation since then on community specifically. We've just done a lot of work in this one area for a while. We did a study in the book of Philippians that when we looked at it verse by verse and we exposited the book together, we recognized what God has been saying throughout His word, but very specifically there, that we're called to be the kind of people who do life together intensely and intentionally and missionally all up in each other's business. That was our Philippians conversation. And then for the last 6 weeks, we've been having a very practical conversation about how that plays out. Very practical, kind of like uncomfortably practical. We've been throwing QR codes and resources around like it's nobody's business. And again, I recognize that for some of us, that might give you the quivers a little bit and say, wait a minute, have we changed who we are? And I'm just saying, no, don't worry. By the time we get out of September, we'll be back in a 21-week expository verse-by-verse sermon series through the book of Galatians. Can I get an amen? All right, we're doing it, right? But while we're here, we just wanted to really set aside some time as a church to just dig in and take ground in a key area and double down on this issue of community. And so for the last 6 weeks, we've been unpacking the six keys to community. These are things that we pull straight out of Scripture. If we're going to say His word is going to be our walk, we've got to do business with the fact that His word calls us to be the kind of people who live these six keys out in close relationship with a few other Christians as we seek to live it out in general in our lives. It's been a lot. It's been a stretch. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to finish this conversation on this six keys to community with one more conversation on a lot of the practical how. How do I find my people? What does it look like to actually start doing this together and clicking with some other people in Christian community? So that's what we're going to tackle today as we land this conversation for now. And we're going to do it in the same three moves we've been doing the whole series. We're going to ask the question, how do I find my people? We're going to see God's word give us an invitation to do just that. We're going to see some cultivation, some practical realities of what does it look like to take steps toward a Christian community group. And then we're going to explore finally this preservation, some skills and habits that you can add to your weekly rhythms, your regular rhythms with your community group to really do what it is we've been talking about. So that's where we're headed this morning. And let's jump into the invitation to doing Christian community with a small group of people as a regular part of your discipleship. And as I think about as an invitation, my mind goes to the Christian tradition I grew up in and one of the most hallowed, sacred, and beautiful aspects of that Christian tradition. Are you ready for it? The potluck dinner. Anyway, who knows what a potluck dinner is? okay? Listen, if you don't, and may you be blessed and may your number increase, right? If you don't know what a potluck dinner is, when I grew up as a kid, there was this regular thing that our little church would do is people would get together for dinner together, but it wasn't just any dinner. We're not ordering pizza for this bad boy. Everybody brings a dish from their own home. And so mom or grandma or whoever is, you know, the cook in the house is going to whip out their best dish, like the traditional, awesomest, coolest version of mashed potatoes you've ever seen, right? They might bring an entree, they might bring a side, they might bring a dessert, which all of the kids in the group immediately go and eat up before the adults can get to it, right? It was just your job as a kid to eat all the different desserts. And I love potlucks. There's something really, truly beautiful about that kind of sharing and collaboration. A couple things I loved about potlucks. There was diversity in the cultures, the tastes, the palates, the approaches and the experience of everybody in that group and bringing those things together. I got to learn things about certain foods. Forgive me, I love you all, but like I could not get my head around fruit inside of Jell-O. Still can't. Those of you who can, bless you, keep on doing it. But I learned there were things I didn't like, and I learned there was things I really did like that really clicked for me. Bless my mom, she's awesome. She fed us our entire growing up years, but she had kind of her own concept of food, and so we would get introduced to other dishes that I didn't know existed that were like really cool. And so recipes would get traded. See, there was a cross-pollination in this diversity. Recipes would get shared, right? Like the secret hidden recipe that no one's ever heard, you might actually get that recipe and get to try it at home. So it was just like cross-pollination that was awesome. But the thing I love the most though is that everyone walks away full. Like if you're the guy who like forgot there was a potluck, or maybe you wandered in to this church and didn't know anything about a potluck, so you come in empty-handed, nothing in your pockets, nothing in your hand, you still get to eat. It's just all laid out on the table and there's just your styrofoam plate and your flimsy forks and you just load your plate up and you get to eat, you get to walk away full. As long as the majority of people are bringing food, then everybody gets to walk away full. There's something beautiful about the image of a potluck dinner. So if you're taking notes, here's the first thing I want you to hear when I'm describing biblical community. A community group is a lot like a potluck. There may be food involved, but there may not be. I'm not talking about the food. I'm talking about that idea of everybody coming with their arms full of Jesus and their experience with him and sharing what they have to share, bringing that diversity of experience with Christ into the same context. Something beautiful happens when we show up regularly in each other's lives, ready to contribute the fruit of our own walks with Jesus to one another, face to face, life on life. And this idea of Christian community draws a lot of its energy from one key command from Jesus. I think it's all over Scripture. I hope I've made that clear, and I'll continue to try to do that for us as a body. But you could say that it draws a lot of its energy from the verse John 13:34. If you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to look at it. In John 13:34, it's near the end of Jesus' ministry in the gospel, where his disciples have seen him do a lot of things, model a lot of things, and teach a lot of things. And he's sort of in his last days before the cross, and he's sort of summarizing, landing his entire ministry. And you can see that in a statement like this, this sort of summary statement he makes to his disciples. In John 13:34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." And if you look in your notes, you'll see that that idea of loving one another gets repeated over and over and over and over in the New Testament. Now, I want to nerd out a little bit with you literarily, and I want you to see that he says love one another twice, at the beginning once and at the end once, and sandwiched in the middle, what it's embracing is the "as I have loved you." If you have a question for Jesus about what it means to love one another, his answer is, well, how did I love you? And the way that I see him loving his people, the people he's talking to right there, is life on life, face to face, as they're going, as they're walking, pressing the biblical truth of who the Father is down into the cracks of their actual everyday lives and experiences and questions and challenges in a community. This is how he loved them. And so it's easy for me, and it has been at different times in my life, to see this. God's word says to love one another and to generalize it rightly. I do think it's a call for us to really treat everyone we meet in a Jesus-like way, but I gotta ask the question, is that really a call for a generalized idea of just loving people, or is what he's saying here something more focused, more up in your face, and more focused on actual Christian community? Because if you're like me, it's easy to lower the bar. It's such a big call that if you just look around this room and said, I'm supposed to love everyone in this room, everyone in Fort Wayne, everyone I ever met, like Jesus, the only option we have is to lower the bar, to be nice, right? Put a Christian fish on your car and try not to cut people off. And by all means, it's in there. Don't be a bonehead, right? We wear the name of Jesus. But I want you to see biblically his word and how it speaks to our walk, because it doesn't let us sit there with that low bar of be nice. I want you to see in the scripture how Jesus, when he gave that command, all of the people that listened to it, how they unpacked it in detail. How did he love us? They're going to show us a whole bunch of what we call the one another's all through scripture. Let me show you this next slide. It's a little overwhelming. This is on the back of your notes if you want to look for yourself. There's about 20 one another's here, and this isn't even all of them. These are just proactive positive ones. This leaves out all the ones that we should not do to one another. What you see is when Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, he's giving an overarching statement that encapsulates a whole lot of very specific, very intense detail that requires that if we're going to take it seriously, God's word in our walk, we've got to really focus and recognize that these are things that can only be worked out in close relationship in some cases with other people. Let me explain. Love one another with brotherly affection, Romans 12:10. That means have actual affection. Treat one another like family. All right? It keeps going. Look at Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens. That means being close enough into someone's life that you see the burden, you understand the burden, and you're able to walk alongside of somebody and help carry their burden with them. It's not something I do necessarily and can say I've applied with a random guy at Walmart. I'll by all means do it, pick up that bag of groceries and help him out. But when you look at the context of the writer and what he's saying in that space, he's talking about a life-on-life kind of lifestyle. Submit to one another, Galatians 5:21. Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another. Sometimes you do need to admonish the random guy in the parking lot. See how that goes, though. I think he's calling us to be up in each other's business, not throwing random Bible grenades at people we don't have a context for, but speaking truth the way Jesus did into the specific questions and challenges and moments of people we know, as well as seeking ways to bring God's word to bear on people we don't know. But if you're still on teetering on whether you buy in, let me just take you to James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another. Try that with a random stranger at Walmart. Well, maybe that's a great way to open a gospel conversation, but I don't think that's what he's calling us to there. I think he's calling us to be the kind of people who are in each other's spaces well enough that we have a context for speaking with those people about the real stuff that needs to come to light in real time, so that we can get help. So the invitation to us is to do life together with a committed, clear group of people, to pursue these one another's deeply. And the more that we do that in these small groups, these community groups, the more it affects our capacity to bleed that out effectively, more and more effectively with those concentric circles of relationships that we have. And so if we're going to take his word, our walk, at face value, we've got to recognize something that might be uncomfortable to hear at first, but I want you to hear me out, that a community group is not a program. A community group is not a program. It's not something I sign up for a specific period of time that is overseen by a structure with a curriculum that I pursue and try on alongside of all of these other programs that I become a part of. I'm not knocking program. In fact, in many cases, the way to get to community requires some program, and we're helped by programs to find our people, let's say, or to learn about these six keys, or to work on figuring out how to work through conflict and to maybe get ourselves educated and some structures built so that we can get rolling. But I'm telling you, if what we're calling community depends on a staff person overseeing it and driving it, or a curriculum that we have to roll around, or a scheduled room in our building that we all come to at the same spot to follow a program, I'm telling you, that's not organically becoming what God's calling us to be in community. God's calling us to be self-sustained, organic entities of relationship with one another in small groups of people who are doing life together, assisted by programs, sure, But it's not a program. It's a lifestyle. It's a set of relationships, something that just naturally comes out of and grows in people who are chasing Jesus, who want to take his word seriously. It's something we pursue. Meeting in homes, doing life together, and living out the biblical keys all around the community of Fort Wayne. That is what a community group does. And so the question we got to ask ourselves, and I want to continue to press this back to you, is this question: is my approach to close Christian relationships being affirmed or challenged by God's word? The way that I've been thinking about and approaching close Christian relationship, if I will really hear God's word, look at it, not my tradition, not my history, not my hurts, not my backgrounds, the word, is it being affirmed or challenged by God's word? You're in a safe place to answer that however you need to honestly answer it. My call to you is to join us and to continue to just take one more step in the direction of following God's word and living it out in your walk. So let's talk about the cultivation. What does it look like to cultivate that, to find your people and to like take steps in that direction? All right, I'm gonna talk to three groups of people and we're gonna get like ultra practical, like frustratingly practical for the rest of our conversation, all right? We're gonna get down to like what's next. And so I wanna talk to three groups of people. It may not encapsulate everyone in the room, but I think it'll be helpful. The first group we're gonna talk about when it comes to cultivating community groups and connecting with people is gonna be that group, those people here who already have a group. Maybe you've been running with them for years and you have what you would call community and you have actual community. I want you to hear from me very clearly. I believe Emmanuel is full of community groups already. Maybe we didn't call them that. Maybe you had a different way of looking at it. That's fine. I think we've got a ton of people and we've seen the fruit. We've seen the maturity. We've seen the missional output and we continue to. It's a big part of why Emmanuel is so incredibly healthy and awesome the way it is. All right. So I believe there's a big group of people here who are already in Christian, close Christian relationship and can call that community. And if that's you, great, I've got some things to say, but I would imagine too, there's a lot of people in the room who want a group, but don't have one yet. And I wanna speak to that group of people. And third, I wanna acknowledge that just like me for portions of my life, there's a group of people in here who want a group, but are struggling with some barriers, some fear, some past hurt, maybe some shame, so that when you're pressed to get close to people, some things inside of you happen that make you say, whoa, wait a minute. I wanna talk to that group too. So we're gonna talk in that order to all three of those groups. First, the people who have a group. Here's what I would say to you with an agricultural image, okay? If you've got people, if you've got a field full of connection with close people and you're living out a community together, then here's what I would call you to do. Work the field you already have. Work that field. So one thing I'm learning as a cyclist moving around Fort Wayne in northern Indiana is there's a lot of farmers, there's a lot of agriculture. And as I get next to some of these farmers and I watch the way they're working their fields, I see the corn is like stupid high, I see soybeans, I see wheat, I see all kinds of cool mechanisms and stuff. And what I'm learning about good farmers like we have up here in northern Indiana is that they're constantly tinkering. Just because they have the biggest yield they've ever had in a given year doesn't mean they're gonna stop trying to get more yield next year. You know what I'm talking about? And so they're gonna work on their tactics, they're gonna work on their mechanisms, they're gonna work on all the details, twisting all the knobs, metaphorically speaking, to get as much as they can out of it. And that's what I'm calling you to do if you've got a community group already. And that means asking yourself two questions relative to our conversation we've been having. And here's the first question. Are we growing in all the keys to community? Are we growing as a group in all the keys? This is my challenge to you if you have a group. Start evaluating, tinkering like a good farmer. Okay, there's a QR code on your notes that'll take you to the community handbook. It's a new resource, anybody and everybody. I would love for you to get your hands on that. You can get a link to a digital version there. We'll have print versions available in the future. And it's gonna give you a look at the keys to the community, a quick introduction overview, and some simple ideas for how you can start living them out in your group. But to remind you of the keys here, I just wanna take your attention to the keys that we've covered. One, devote daily. Two, pursue relationally. Counsel biblically. Live authentically. Admonish faithfully. Engage missionally. We've unpacked these. And what I've found is that with people who have existing relationships, because God's Spirit's moving through his word to make it happen, even though you might call it something else, most of the time what I've found with groups, though, is that they tend to focus on one or a combination of a few of these keys, but rarely do I run into groups who are banging them all out, who are really after all of them. And that's not a criticism. I believe so much of the fruit of our church is because people are working out these values in different ways. But I'm saying, is your group working all of them out, or are you leaving something on the table? Is there more fruit for you to be experiencing together as a group? Be wary of being that group that focuses on just one, like the relational group, who when I talked about pursue relationally, they're like, yes, I love those relational groups. I need that in my life. I need fun people who can just, we can just chill out and be safe and do good, clean fun together. Amen? Amen. I think we all need that, apparently. Amen? Amen? Amen. We need that, right? So I'm affirming it. It's beautiful. There's a lot of fruit in just having a good time together. But man, if that's your main and only focus, you're leaving fruit on the table. There's so much more to community, to biblical community. Be wary of being the group that's the deep share your feelings group. When you hear live authentically, you're like, yeah. All right, and that's all we're doing. And I love that. I need that in my life. I'm prone to be that guy that I just want to process the deep stuff, the hard stuff. This is what's going on in my life, right? I need a safe place, and I want to be a safe place for people to talk about the hard things, the grief maybe, let's say, or the pain in life and the challenging things. And again, I affirm it. We need it. But if that's all we're doing, we're leaving fruit on the table. Beware of being the academic study group where Devote Daily is like, yes, right? And again, that is the first place to start. We heard that very clearly in this series. I'm not minimizing it. We need it. We need more of it. But if all we do as a group is get together and fill the mental cup with more theology, more thoughts, more challenging questions, asking and answering and studying academically, we're doing some incredible things. And beautiful fruit comes from that, but we're leaving things on the table that God has for us in addition to our Bible study. Beware of being the heavy accountability group, the admonish faithfully group. I need that in my life, right? The people who throw their arms around each other and say, let's go, let's get after it. You confessed this thing a while back. Let's figure out how to solve it. How'd you do this week? How'd you do this week? How you do this week? Right? Like, we all need that in our lives, right? I need that kind of accountability, but I've seen these groups where that's what they are, accountability groups. And man, they tend to wear each other out. They don't tend to last long. And so fruit, yes. Beautiful, yes. Double down, go after it. But what about the rest of the keys? One thing I'm learning about good agriculture is the phenomenon of crop rotation. If you pay attention around here, you'll see corn growing for a season or two in a given area, but often then they'll switch for the next season to soybeans and once in a while wheat. Around here. And we rotate crops because if you grow the same crop over and over and over in the same field, you will wear that soil out and you'll actually get less produce per season as you destroy the land. And so what we do is we rotate the crops, and sometimes you even give a field a break and double down in another field and let that thing just go to seed and do its thing and rest, and then you come back to it. This is normal. This is natural. And this is what I'm talking about, Indiana. So what I'm talking about, Emmanuel, is that when we pursue all the keys, it's not all of them all of the time necessarily. Sometimes there are phases where we're hardcore after one key as we continue to pursue the others and we rotate through them. But just be wary of saying we're doing everything and we're chasing everything and there's no more fruit to be had, when in fact, there may be a lot more fruit for you if you'll focus on all the keys. And so that's the first question. Are we growing in all the keys of community? The second question is simply this. Do we need any support? Why not check in and see where you might be able to take some ground as a group? Why not get an outside perspective? Proverbs 15:22, God says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. And so if you're a group that's doing well, why not do a quick check-in with our community team and get some input on, hey, here's some things, here's some ground you could take. Maybe here's how you could work through some conflict. Here's some tools you could use to work through conflict. Or maybe you're getting outstretched on your resource and your capacity to take care of a family in your group. Great, tap in and get some help from our community team to help you figure out how you might take some more ground. There's a QR code in your notes for an event that we've actually gotten a great response for. We're going to schedule even more of them, called Community Launch. It's a one-time deal. You come in one evening as a group and with our community team, they're just going to walk you through and do a quick check-in and say, hey, here's what we're talking about with community. How you feeling? How you doing? What's your next faithful step on getting all of these keys activated in your life? What resources do you feel like you need? And getting you connected with our team so you can excel still more. So that's the first group, people who have community already. Let's talk about this second group, people who want it but are struggling to find connection with other people. It's a lot of us. And for you, here's what I would say. Stake out a plot and start plowing. Stake out a plot and start plowing. All right? Maybe you don't have your field yet. What it means is creating time and margin. That's hard, I know. creating time and margin, mental and emotional and temporal margin in your life to pursue community. I've got three ideas, if you're willing to do that, for how you can then connect with some other people in ways that might help lead to Christian community. And the first idea is this: start with existing relationships. Maybe you don't actually need to go find people. It's very possible that as a believer, God's already inserted relationships in your life of people who are chasing Jesus. And what we're talking about is maybe your first attempt to pursue community is simply putting the community glasses on and saying, who am I willing to pursue life with that I already have connection with? And pop in the question, would you do community with me? Here's what I mean by that. I'm looking for 3, 4, 5 people to really tie my life to in community, and I feel like we would be a good click, and let's go find some more. Right? You might find that God's already got people in your space that you just needed to pop the question to. Start with existing relationships. I love this because it's organic. If you're talking agriculture, this is the organic approach. And I have a second organic step for you, maybe that's a hard one. Maybe you've tried and it's not working, or there's reasons why that wouldn't make sense, and you need some more help pursuing Christian community connections. And so the second organic step I'd give you is this: get involved in target-rich environments. I mean target-rich environments. What I mean is getting to places where people who are the sort of people who are chasing after Jesus, where you're most likely to find those people. Go to those places, get next to those people, run next to those people, and in that space, you're more likely to be able to tap one of them and say, hey, let's do life together. What do I mean by that? I got you 2 QR codes there, and I'll give you 2 very specific ideas of how I naturally do it. Like, this is actually, every time I've had Christian community in my life, this is how I did it. I didn't actually depend on a program. I actually put in time, and this takes time and effort and patience. But my wife and I, we put in time getting into context like what I'm about to show you. The 1 QR code is going to show you opportunities for serving here at Emmanuel. I mean, you want to find people who love Jesus, who are making space in their lives for him and for his mission. Go where those people will be. Well, you're guaranteed to find some of those people serving here at Emmanuel and around Fort Wayne. So if you go to that QR code, our serving page, you'll see the hospitality ministry, the outreach ministry, the care and recovery ministry, the Stephen ministry. Those are some incredible leaders to get next to and to be a part of. Our ABLE ministry, our facilities ministry, our media and production ministry, young adults, kids, men, youth ministry. There's all kinds of people here doing things. And it follows that if those people are doing things because they love Jesus and I love Jesus, maybe if I get next to them, I'll find some people to do life with. Right? But I get it. A lot of us in the room were like overwhelmed. It's school just started. You're like, Will Hyde, I don't have bandwidth to sign up for ministry. Okay. Well, that brings us to our second QR code, which is our events page and studies, right? Maybe you can't commit to being involved in a ministry and running next to people that way, but I'll tell you what, there are ample gardens, fields, spaces here at our church where you can get next to people who are pursuing Jesus. The way that I found my Christian community group in Dallas, Texas was my wife getting involved in women's Bible study for a couple of seasons, getting next to women and seeing them in their context and building connection, and finally we popped the question to a couple of those couples. And sure enough, we developed community there organically. So men's and women's Bible studies, right? You could go to the Grow class. You could go to Colson Fellows and get connected to people there. You could get involved in our Women's Coffee Connection. You could see our Senior Adults Lunch and Learn and get jumping in there. Man, if you haven't been to Oasis yet, y'all, you talk about actual potluck dinners? Come on. Yeah, see, they know. Actual potlucks. Right? Get connected, get into those spaces, and you'll find people. Man, we even have a ministry here called Little Dresses Sewing Ministry. My Lanta. Like, there's anywhere. There's all kinds of different places you can jump into to get next to big groups, small groups, to get next to people where you could say, hey, that's the kind of person I might want to double down, have coffee with, feel out for a while, and then pop the question to. You want to do life together? You want to do some community? Let's do this. But it means getting yourself next to other people. Highly recommend it. But let's just say you've tried that, or for whatever reason, I get it, it's just not feasible for you. Well, that's when then you go from the organic to the step of just raising your hand for help, saying, hey, Emmanuel, I need help. And you're safe and welcome and loved here. There's no shame in doing that, because we as a church want to, and we're figuring out how to help people find their people. Most practical way you can do that, if you're in high school, is that QR code for the high schoolers. Scan that code. That'll get you an email on your screen. You just fill, I need help finding community. Send, and it'll go to Pastor Matt Steeman, our director of student ministries as a whole. He's a pastor over that and specifically over high school. And he's going to help you take steps to discover how, over time, you might find yourself in community with other high schoolers. Everyone else, older, the other QR code is for you. That's our community formation ministry. We have already had a huge response. The first one's already full, and we're scheduling another one. And we'll continue to schedule them for people who are saying, I need help finding people. That's where we'll gather people together who are all saying the same thing. I want to follow Jesus in community, and I need help. And we'll see if we can help you find people in that context. Okay, that's for people who want community but don't have it yet. And third and finally, I just want to speak to the group in the room who's running into those internal barriers to Christian community. You hear about it, you're drawn to it, you're unsure about it, but you're drawn to it, and something inside of you is just resisting because of maybe some hurt, some fear, some anxiety, some past stories. It's like plowing. You want to plow your field, but your plow, bam, hits a rock, right? Or you want to plow a field, but it's full of big old trees, and you've been trying to cut those trees down, but those, they got roots in your field, and you're having a hard time, and bless you, I've been there. For you, here's my admonition. Loving admonition would be this: remove the rocks and the stumps. And that's a long process. No one is impatient trying to press you faster than you can go. But faithfulness means taking your next faithful step. And if what's stopping you from what God calls us to in close Christian relationship is a rock or a stump, well, then let's get to work. Let's get to work together, pulling those rocks out, grinding those stumps down. You're not alone. One of the biggest barriers to Christian community is the fallout of the harms that have been done to us or by us as a result of conflict or sin in our lives or in the lives of other people. A lot of us are carrying hurt, fear, and shame and uncertainty about closeness. And so for you, one thing I would point you to, certainly not the solution for everything and everybody, but I'd point you to a couple things in these QR codes. One of them is a new ministry we're starting here called Regeneration. What I want everyone in the room to hear is wherever you are in this community conversation and in life, I really feel like anyone and everyone, if you haven't been through Regeneration, should put that on their My Discipleship list as a box to check at some point. It'll do so much for anyone in the room. Really believe it's the kind of thing that helps us cultivate the things that need to be true in us to do Christian community well, but especially for people who have rocks and stumps in the way. It's a ministry designed to help people disciple their hearts toward Jesus and toward others. It helps us move away from things that have held us back from a relationship with God and with others. It's a key step of discipleship, whether you got community or not. What's beautiful about it too is it's not what I would call community. It's a program, but it's a great incubator for community. Shows you what it looks and feels like to be in that kind of a space, and oftentimes helps people connect who end up running running beyond that ministry into community together. Another ministry you'll see a QR code is called Reengage. That's for people who are married. And again, I'd say the same thing. It's for all of us. When my wife and I went through Reengage years ago, I would have said our marriage was an 8. We just wanted some tuning up and got in there. I was like, oh, I guess we needed more work than I thought. It was a great thing. It was a great experience for me. And I would say it's a great experience for everybody. But again, especially if it's something going on in your marriage that's the rock or the stump that's keeping you from Christian community, then let me encourage you to consider that as your next faithful step. Not jumping into a community group, but jumping into a space where you could safely work through and improve your marriage together. Again, another great incubator for community. You might run into some couples there that you end up deciding to run with for the long haul. You know, and there may be bigger things, deeper things, harder things, chemical things and physical things that emotionally and you know, that are holding you back. And I want you to know you're safe and loved here, all right? And so we've got a care and recovery team here. We've got pastors on staff who'd love to have a conversation with you to help you think through your next step there, because it may be them helping you get a referral to someone who really can help work through some of that harder stuff. All of that to say, it just comes back to, what's your next faithful step? What if you believed we really loved you and wanted to help you? All right, what's your next faithful step in this context to move toward Christian community? So that's cultivating. Get rolling. If you have a field, work it. If you don't, plot it out and start getting to work. And if there's things in the way, let's begin working through those things so that we can experience Christian community together. I want to finish with this quick conversation on preservation. Let's just say you got your people. What are we talking about, Josh? What are we talking about when we get together? What does it look like? What do we do? And I want to just bring us back to the potluck. What does it mean to come to the table together with your community group on the regular and share potluck style life? Well, if I'm putting it another way, if I'm doing community well, then what I'm doing is I'm going to process life with your people. That's what you're going to do. You're going to process life with your people. Ongoing. The walk with Jesus that you have, you're going to bring it alongside other people and work on it together on a regular basis. Face to face, life on life. And what I want to do is just give you three questions to ask and answer that we could represent as what you're going to bring to your potluck table in your time together as community on the regular. Three dishes you're going to serve, three questions you're going to ask and answer. When you know you're doing community well, all three of these questions are asked and answered regularly together. The first question I'm asking my community group guys when I'm in community is this: how are you feeding your soul? Come into community ready to ask and answer that question of every guy in that group. All right, when I'm one-on-one with my guys, or when we as couples are together as a total group, those are the kinds of questions we're asking as couples. How are we all feeding our souls? And what that is it's addressing those first two keys. It's giving a chance to bring the fruit of my time with Jesus, the Bible study, the verses God's using in my life, and put that on the table and discuss that. Talk about it. Here's what I'm learning. Here's how God's challenging me. As I prayed through that, here's what God challenged me with. And we're all dining together on the fruit of the Bible study that each of us brings. So whether we're doing Bible study first as a group, and then we get into that question as a result of that Bible study, or we're doing it on our own, devoting daily with Jesus, and we're bringing that fruit, we're putting that on the table and we're discussing, how are you feeding your soul? You might ask it a different way like this: how's your relationship with Jesus? What are you learning from your time with Jesus, and how are you living it out? Share with us what you're learning from God's word. How are you doing loving your family and investing in the other key relationships in your life? And how can we encourage you along those lines? Teaching and admonishing one another there. How are you feeding your soul? But we don't stop there. Now we get into the second question, the second dish that we serve and share together in this potluck of community. How are you feeding your flesh? That part of you that Jesus has forgiven, even though your heart has been circumcised in Christ, he says in Colossians, and we're a whole thing and we're made new, we still have broken patterns, broken neurons, broken bodies, and broken thinking that we live into that leads us into sin, this spiritual dynamic still in play in our lives. And that's what the scripture means by the flesh. And how are you feeding that? We don't want to feed that. So how are you, and how can we help you stop feeding the flesh? You might... And this is where we lift up the value, the key of living authentically and admonishing faithfully. This is how you engage those keys in a conversation. You might ask it this way: hey, where might you be dabbling around the edges of unhealthy things and telling yourself it's okay? How do we get on top of that and help you? Is there anything you need to bring to the light here in our group so that we can help you be free from it? Where might you need some encouragement or prayer to stay strong in your resistance of those sinful patterns in our lives? I'm telling you, if we're not having that conversation, then we are not doing community. And if we're not the kind of people who can be safe for that conversation, we've got ground to take. But we're not done. How are you feeding your soul? How are you feeding your flesh? The third question is this: how are you feeding others? How are you feeding others? It's where we lift up the key of counseling biblically and engaging missionally. We hold one another to account, and we encourage one another, and we spur one another on to love and good deeds. You might ask it this way: how are you investing in the kingdom with your time, your talent, your treasure in this season, in this week, on this day? How is that playing out in the micro, in the macro? Do you maybe need some help with discernment, right? I'm looking to maybe make this financial output. This is stewardship resource from God, and I want to do this. Guys, help in my community group. Ladies, help me figure out if this is actually the best allocation of my resource for the kingdom. Or, hey, I'm feeling called to pursue this discipleship relationship with someone else, and I don't know if I can do that with the time and energy and resource that I have, because I'd have to say no to that. Help me discern, guys and ladies. That's how are you feeding others kind of conversation. And so really, it's that simple. It's those three questions. Maybe not every question every week. Maybe not every person unpacking themselves every time you talk, but we're working through a constant rhythm of all three of those questions. And again, maybe what you're hearing is, yeah, we've been eating this dish and it's been great, but there's two more? And I don't want you to feel shame or frustration there. I want you to feel intrigue that maybe God has more for you than even you realize. This is what we're after, working out Christian community together. And so the final question I would just put in front of you today to consider as we land this whole conversation is this question, a familiar question. What is my next faithful step toward deeper Christian community? We have covered a lot of ground. It would be really easy to feel overwhelmed, which is why we want to continue to come back to this. We're not trying to eat the whole elephant. You have all the time you need. There is no pressure from me, from God, from the church, for you to have arrived at anything. The call, the invitation, the wooing from God and his word, though, is for you to take your next faithful step and then the next one and the next one to get to that point where this is a norm in your life, having these kinds of conversations with a group of people over time. But if you are overwhelmed, I just want to, I felt pretty overwhelmed too, and I was having a conversation with Pastor Gary Dilley. Whenever anyone's overwhelmed, if you get next to Pastor Gary Dilley, you walk away comforted, amen? And we were just talking in the context of a group. He was processing some of the questions people at Emmanuel naturally have, some of the struggles and concerns and questions about how do I move forward with community. And he told me, hey, Josh, here's what I've been telling people. And I love what he's been saying. He says this, at the end of the day, Emmanuel, it boils down to this. You just need people in your life. If I could just summarize our entire 7 months that have led to this moment. Emmanuel, you just need people in your life. This is God's word to you, his invitation, his call. So what step are you going to take to receive that invitation and really live that out? That's the question I'm asking for me, and that's the question I would ask all of us to continue to pursue together. So would you join me in prayer? Father, we love you. We need you. We need you desperately, and I'm grateful, God, that we serve a God of grace and patience and love who's given us all of this instruction, but now also is going to give us the grace that each of us needs to take our next faithful step. Would you give us discernment on what that step is and help us to take it? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, one more thing. If you have any questions about regeneration, reengage your community, if you go out of the back, if you're in here with me, if you go out and take a right, you'll see them. And if you're in the FLC, you go out down the hall to the left, you'll see a bunch of people in bright blue shirts. And they would love to help you get face-to-face and ask and answer any questions that you have on any of the stuff we've been talking about. So I'd encourage you to check in with them. But for now, let's close out our time in worship.